Bubble!
Hello and welcome to Cam FM and Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quintario, and my guest this week is Chris Moten.
Hello.
So we're going to be looking at some of the more interesting and weirder news stories from the past week and basically just taking it from there. So we're going to start with a case of, well, potentially mistaken identity in geology, in a way.
Well, so more than mistaken identity, really.
yeah, wrong species entirely. Yeah, it's slightly worse than getting someone confused with someone else, I feel.
It seldom happens to the police of kind of, I think this is, you know, Steve the robber. And it's like, no, I believe that's actually a penguin. And oh, I better go look again.
The reason we were talking about this is that an animal expert, apparently, in a letter to the Veterinary Record, claimed that the White Horse of Uffington isn't actually a horse at all. Mm-hmm. It's actually a dog, he thinks.
Yeah. So, apparently what's happened here is it's one of those things where some ancient civilization has decided what would be a great tribute to my king or some great leader. And I could get him chocolates. We probably need to invent those. I could give him money. We probably need to invent currency. I'll tell you what. I will engrave a horse into the side of the side of a hill, and he will look up at that and he will say, "Man, that's a big horse. I hope that's for me." So it would have been good if it had been signed or whatever. But the summary is, there's a white chalk horse in the side of a hillside, and that's all nice and good, except for this veterinary person who thinks that's actually a dog because it lacks this, you know, the anatomical features of a horse.
Yes, Olaf Swarbrick says that he thinks it might be a greyhound or a wolfhound because the tail and head are wrong for a horse and more suggested for a dog. I mean, to be honest, I can't see either of those in there.
Yeah, I think it's
some sort of strange alien being.
Well, I think anatomy-wise, I mean, if you look closely at the picture, you'll note that one of its forelimbs and one of its hind limbs are both disconnected from its body completely.
I think that's artistic license rather than any actual...
Well, if you're not going to make a fuss about its limbs being unattached, then, you know, sort of the specifics of species cease to be quite so quite so salient. I like the fact that in this story, one of the guys asked, is it a horse or a dog? Said, it's clearly a horse because we've been calling it a horse since the 11th century.
If you call it a duck, then it's a duck regardless of if it quacks like a duck.
Yeah, essentially. I think this tells us either that it really is a horse or that it was carved by somebody you didn't want to offend and who thought it was a horse. So the kind of, you know, it's like the local lord carved the horse for the king, and the king showed up and said, that is one nice dog. And the lord went, it's a horse. And he'd spend the next couple of months sort of saying, hey, you peasant, what do you think of that horse? And the peasant would say, you mean that dog over there? And he would go, no, a smiting with your pitchfork. And so the peasants gradually learned that, no, you very definitely call that the horse on the hill. We'll even name it Horse on the Hill, and hopefully in time people will realise that you shouldn't question the Lord on that sort of matter.
I like the idea that it might just be someone's first go at it who is quite young, and their parents just kind of went, oh wow, you made a pretty dog.
Got up one morning to go, oh, you've modified the geology again. Always you were doing this.
You made a lovely dog. It's a horse. Oh, you've made a lovely horse.
Just doting 10th century earldom.
Yeah, they reckon it's over three. No, it's not even 10th century. It's 3,000 years old. So like 1,000 years BC around then.
Yeah, I mean, back there people were presumably struggling to make fire. I mean, I'm aware that 1,000 BC was sort of good times if you lived around the Mediterranean. But for ancient Saxons, as far as I'm aware, it was very much, let's try striking Steve's head against that of other Steve, and maybe that will produce sparks in their civilization. So the criticizing their art is a little bit harsh, I feel. I mean, you don't go around ancient Egypt going, they couldn't paint, could they? Absolutely no concept of the third dimension. Jesus. Back to art school with you, Ramses III, who obviously did his own painting. Very dedicated.
Oh, they did manage to get quite decent licenses on the sarcophagi.
They did, yes, yes. So I suppose the third dimension was deployed in times of great need. there was only a couple of guys who understood it, and everybody else was all about the profile.
Oh my God, the Pharaoh's dead. Deploy the third dimension.
If you look,
it's like some sort of super weapon.
It actually goes, you'll find one dimensional art in some parts of Egypt, but people tend not to recognize it as such. Yeah, it is just a line of varying length. They tend to assume they were trying to establish a sort of a proto traffic system.
Yeah, you know, let's say that down all of our middle of all of our roads, that's 1D art.
Those aren't roads. That's just like art by the simplest of Egyptian society.
Oh no, there's a brilliant quote here from the National Trust Warden for the area, Keith Flaxall. Said horses were enormously important. It signified power. You were mobile. Mm-hmm. So it's effectively the same as someone sticking a picture of their new car on their Facebook profile.
Yeah,
it's, so yeah. I'm so manly. Look at my big horse. It's not. I'm not compensating for anything, honest.
Yeah, it's a sort of a big billboard that says, "This is the Mare-mobile. Check it out, or you'll probably."
I find it amusing that you've made a big horse on a rock to show that you're mobile. It's like, we can't go very far away from here.
Yes. We've bought you a ceremonial car and rooted it to the ground. It's like, well, I like the ceremonial car. You'd omitted setting it in concrete.
Guy's going, I've had a horse. Did you know that there's no such thing as a white horse in equestrianism?
So what do they call horses that are white?
Grey.
That seems inaccurate.
I don't know why. Yeah. It's just one of those things, like the fact that they measure them in hands. And they weigh them in furlongs.
I'll take my issues on that up with the equestrian people later. In the meantime, we should probably talk about the next thing.
I think we deserve a bit of a break after that.
Oh, all right. 97.2
camfm.co.uk. On air and online, you're Cam FM.
Hello, that was Stairway to Heaven.
Yes, it was. It was like the autoplay system was trying to drive us off the air with 10 minutes worth of Zeppelin, but we showed them.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Now we're carrying on with looking at the week's unusual news here. Yeah, I was apologise to everyone. Our email system doesn't seem to be working. Otherwise, we'd be asking you for comments on the news stories. Otherwise, you just since we can't do that, you just have to listen to our comments a bit more.
Yeah. You can file abuse on our Facebook pages for afterwards, I suppose.
Please don't do that. But yes, we're speaking of social networking and Web 2.0, as they call it, we have in fact got some news about Twitter.
We have indeed, yes. The Greater Manchester Police have taken what I think is a sincerely interesting step of setting up a Twitter feed which describes what their officers are doing all day. So that you get a tweet every time an officer goes and does something for the people of Greater Manchester.
One of my friends got a bit confused about this and was like, that sounds like a really stupid idea. That's like telling the criminals you're after them.
Yes, if you send them a tweet beforehand, it's like, just going to go rumble Steve the dealer's stash house. Steve's just checking Twitter, sort of going, aha!
Mysterious noises in house, officers dispatch, and the criminal just, his phone suddenly goes off, and he's like, oh, perhaps I better leave. Well, no.
I think perhaps, so obviously they're not going to be that stupid. They're not going to sort of go, you know, what did I do today? Oh yeah, you know, I've been investigating organised crime. I think Dave the waiter is actually dealing coke on the side. Better go check that one out. And then another tweet 10 minutes later is like, you know, Dave mysteriously dead in river. You know, peculiar.
That would be a bad idea. Wasn't there some criminal a while back who got caught because he posted pictures of where he was on Twitter or something, on Facebook?
Well, human stupidity knows no bounds, so I could believe it, but I didn't see the particular incident. I think what might actually happen in this case is you might find that kids, so you know, not organised crime, but sort of the kids who enjoy sort of riling the police a bit, will regard this as a good way to get famous. You know, you'll find that the kid's being, you know, he's being taken down for sort of lobbing rocks at police cars, and you'll find he sort of yells out his Twitter username as he, you know, as he's dragged into the car, you know, so they can tag him in the tweet. You know, he'll be like, "You'll never take Dave 22 alive."
I like the idea of just wondering who. Wondering who these Greater Manchester police would be following on Twitter as well. Greater Manchester police
follow the mafia. It's just hope they give something away.
Stephen Fry, obviously. Everyone on Twitter follow Stephen Fry.
Yeah, I'd like to see the hashtags that get used. Is there a hash housebreaking for people?
I think it was just hash GMP, sadly.
Oh dear.
If the drugs bust, it could be hash hash.
Oh. Sorry, my pretend laugh just totally failed. Let me try that one again. There we go.
Sound like the Green Giant.
That's a bit more like it. I think we've got to be careful that the police don't think that they've hit it off on the sort of Web 2.0 thing, and let's carry that on indiscriminately. I think there's quite a danger that whoever hit Twitter got lucky, and we're quite lucky he didn't get, say, you know, lolcats, for example. You know, I am in your stash house eating your coke. lolcops, I suppose, would be the appropriate term. We're probably quite lucky we don't have Greater Manchester lolcops, and we do instead have a Greater Manchester Twitter feed.
Oh, lolcops! I can see that taking off now. If lolcops takes off, we invented it.
I'm not sure I want to claim responsibility, but you can have that one all in yourself.
If it's horrible, we take no responsibility for what other people do.
They'll never find us in this mysterious basement from which CamFM operates 10,000 yards under the Earth's crust.
I looked at some of these tweets. There were some brilliant ones, because there was all the usual sort of youth causing disturbance, and there was one spotted someone they thought dangling a baby off a bridge. It turned out to be a man walking across a bridge carrying his dog, which was afraid of bridges.
Afraid of bridges. That's very specific. There's nothing I hate more than joining one last landmass to another with a large stanchion or beam.
what's Latin for bridge? Bridgenesis?
probably pont, I would guess.
Pontophobia.
If in doubt, you're missing Latin, head for French. If you miss French, go for ancient Norman. Obviously, yeah, it gets harder there.
There were some more serious ones, people being injured in car crashes and stuff, but the one that really got me was a woman who wanted their help to sue the benefit office because she wasn't getting enough benefits. I can't help but feel she's missing the point of the police.
Yep.
As I checked, it was not illegal to just, like, having not pay out benefits when someone's not filled out a form for them.
Yeah, so feel free to suck the government dry if you can, but we're not paying for the process. This will just run away with itself.
I think we should applaud Greater Manchester Police for their bravery in this. I mean, it could have gone completely wrong, but actually everyone seems to think it's pretty positive. So
actually good idea.
Yeah, it's somewhat. I think that we should chalk this up as a surprise time when the web 2.0 and social networking and stuff has actually been really good.
Yeah. We're probably quite lucky they didn't get themselves a Flickr account. You know, that would have been rubbish. So it's a near miss, a near miss of failure, or actual success, as we like to term them. And yes, applause for the Greater Manchester Police is due.
Well, that was a lot of applause.
That was
very far
applause.
Away from the mic.
That was my minimal possible applause.
moving over to something slightly different. Apparently, the Russian military has come up with a way to deceive the enemy. We've moved on what I've seen in fantasy films and Zulu and stuff like that, where they've pretended to have people by just putting up dummies. Now we have inflatable tanks.
Yes, indeed. No, that's very impressive. I'm impressed by the company that has the wherewithal to build an inflatable T-90 tank.
What surprised me, it says the decoys are apparently 100 times cheaper than the real thing. Which, come on, either tanks are cheaper than I expected, or balloons are more expensive, I believe.
Yes, yes, you would hope there was a bit more to that. You couldn't trade in your 100 balloons and so to say, how about
a real tank.
Tank with armor-piercing shells, and they'd go, yeah, whatever. Of course, this is Russian tanks, so it's possible that this is Russian tanks on the resale market. You can sort of get a clapped-out old 60s tank for your 100 balloons. For the real deal, you've got to get into.
Apparently, they stitched together a former hot air balloon factory. So, how you go from them to inflatable tanks?
I presume you start by sewing up the bottom of the balloon and go, excellent, that's more airtight than it was. Now, what we have here is a massive sort of globular spheroid. What we want is a tank. What are we missing? Work from there, really. Do with a gun barrel. All tanks have gun barrels. Yeah, that'd be good.
Step by step. Apparently they'll fool radar in that. So,
As in fake radar stations, not functioning radar.
No,
balloons.
They'll fool radar.
They'll balloons, fool, yes.
The balloons look apparently realistic on radar too.
Yeah, right. Well, you need to put a lot of metal in the front of it to make that happen.
I'm waiting until we all have inflatable houses.
It's quite possible they've just put the tank that was decommissioned for the purpose. They have, in fact, taken most of its shell and left it around the place to provide a radar signature. If you look carefully, this is, in fact, just a tank with a balloon nearby.
I know there's a brilliant quote here from someone who's a former worker. A worker there. And she said, I'm proud to be making entire rocket launchers and tanks for our armed forces. How many people in the world can say that?
True. Well, if they put that quote on the job advert, that's going to be blatant fraud. You're going to show up there sort of going, right, when do I get to kill people? Balloon factory.
Just imagine a comedy comedy gig. So it's like this woman sits at the front and is like, and what do you do for a living? It's like, I stitched together entire tanks and rocket launchers.
It's not bad.
Where do you go from there? I mean, I think what job title could cause more confusion in anyone than that?
True, indeed. I'm not convinced these tanks are going to work too well as a decoy, though, you know, because, I mean...
They won't move.
Well, they won't move, but that's obviously, you know, if once you have it moving, you've very nearly got a tank, you know, that's not really a decoy, that's a proper weapon of war. But, no, I was slightly more worried that who borders Russia? See, I was about to say a country, and then I realised it might not exist. So, who borders Russia? Name a country that borders Russia.
Well, lots of them. Georgia?
There you go. Georgia, that exists. For now, but
don't start complaining about the social political
no
the region,
not,
otherwise we'll get in trouble.
It's not social politics, it's child abuse. Hear me out on this one. My worry is that Georgia, the next time it wants to invade Russia, will go, right, we know for a fact that some of those are tanks and some of those are inflatable tanks, deploy the small children, and the small children will then rampage across the field finding the inflatables and doing what only a small child can do, which is to say bounce on the inflatable T-90, and then the Georgian troops will just be instructed to sort of go, bouncing child, just a decoy. Give it the old thumbtack launcher as the way of destroying that one.
If we're talking about the police earlier, everyone who just is worried about these tanks could just deploy the Stinger from all those cop shows where they follow police cars.
That is for stopping moving cars, isn't it? The Stinger is a thing you put on the floor and then the car goes whoop-boomf and then it stops. Whereas in this case, you'd put the Stinger on the floor and go, no.
The tank's not moving.
Only the real tanks are moving, which are very much immune to the Stinger. Very much in the design criteria for the tank.
I'm just wondering what else will be inflatable next. Houses? I think an inflatable house would be good. I mean,
yeah, it'd be quite fun.
We've got pop-up tents. That's they're not bad.
Yeah.
Inflatable meals. When you want to feel really full.
It depends on what you inflate them with, I suppose. if you inflate it with flour, for example, you know, that's pretty much valid food.
Oh, dear. No, so, yeah, some ingenuity there. We shall see how they work when they're actually deployed or inflated.
I think the summary though would be in contrast to my applause for the Greater Manchester Police, I would like to give a small boo for the Russian Army for endangering small children with their tank shaped bouncy castles. Boo! There you go.
Oh, okay. That was very contrasting to your clap earlier.
My tiny applause.
Okay, and now we've got a story. We're not particularly the story itself is sad, but we just like to pay our tribute to Benoit Mandelbrot, who people might have heard of the Mandelbrot set. You keep on going closer into it, and it looks the same, mm-hmm. and it's very pretty. You can get T-shirts with these on and stuff. On computer programs, where if you stare at it too hard, your eyes start to go funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually very important mathematically. And he's died at the age of 85. So, we'd just like to pay a little tribute to.
True. I hear he, at the risk of breaking the serious mood, I hear he had he died the way he would want to go. The tumor that killed him had finite volume but infinite surface area. So I think he would have been quite happy with that. he died a mathematician's death.
The brilliant quote though in this BBC article, he talks about seemingly random mathematical shapes which followed a pattern if you broke it down into a single repeating shape at different length scales and stuff. But it says the concept enabled scientists to measure previously immeasurable objects, including the coastline of the British Isles, the geometry of a lung or a cauliflower.
Yeah,
the British coast. Surely it's there. You measure it.
Steve the measurer with his ceremonial measuring tape was about three quarters of the way around the coastline when Mandelbrot turned up and went, "Stop! I have invented fractals. Your problem is solved."
I just like the fact that you can compare the coastline of the British Isles to a cauliflower.
These
are apparently mathematically similar somehow.
Yeah, well,
like a donut in a coffee cup.
Not to mention physically.
Physically, how so?
Yeah, well, yeah. So take anything you would normally employ a cauliflower for, and try substituting the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So cauliflower cheese would become the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland cheese, which is a notorious dish.
not so much a good dish. Not so much a dish as a cheese board.
Wait, a what?
Cheese board.
A cheese board. You're going to have to explain that one.
Well, that's right. Great Britain and Northern Ireland cheese is a selection of different cheeses, surely, that you get on a cheese board.
Oh, see. Sorry. Right. I was taking the matter too literally. I was chopping up Great Britain and Northern Ireland into little pieces, putting it in a dish, coating it in cheese and consuming. It's a very cheap meal. It's likely that you can find the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland near to you. Probably free of charge. And the council might object to digging.
And the Queen might object if you start eating her country.
Well, as long as you don't yourself leave the country, on balance, everything's going to be fine. If you were to sort of go... If you were to slowly destroy, say, Devonshire, by just sort of going, "Om nom nom, mouthful of Devon..." Right, over the channel, and then come back a few days later once nature had done what nature does, and then sort of go, "Right, come on, X more, I can take you down in perhaps 2 million of these trips." that might upset the Queen, principally because you're stealing a national park, which is a rare crime, but I think treason.
Apparently, Mandelbrot explained at a conference earlier this year, if you cut one of the clorets of a cauliflower, you see the whole cauliflower, but smaller.
Mm.
Then you cut again and again and again, you still get small cauliflowers.
Mm. And the same is true of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
And you cut it up, you get smaller... Smaller coastlines of
if you were to dig up a small shovel full of earth today, look at it under a microscope, and you will find that there's tiny leads sort of roughly halfway down, bit sort of in the middle, you can have sort of sadistic joy by sort of knowing that you the number of leads is that you smite on your daily commute.
It sounds like a hydra somehow. You keep on cutting and it keeps on getting
there's
more
always
head.
Leads somewhere.
<There's> always.
There'll always be a leads. Though it might be considerably smaller than the original.
What was it? There's some crazy mathematical theorem where you can get a sphere and cut it up, and now you have two spheres exactly the same size somehow. I've never got that.
You're the mathematician.
I'm not a mathematician. I'm a physicist.
You're kind of a mathematician.
Physicist.
You've been cited within the Department of Mathematical What's Names.
The Department of Mathematical What's Names. That is the sort of cutting edge insight we bring to you here.
That one that looks like a bit like a spaceship, and it's in West Cambridge somewhere. You know the one.
I've not been. I don't work there.
Yeah. No. Lies, I say.
Physics department. And, one thing I might suggest is that, we're not going to have any Mandelbrot complexity, but, yeah, music is quite complex, so we've got some of that instead.
On air, online, and across Cambridge. Your station, your Cam FM.
Hello, welcome back to Burst of Bubble on Cam FM with me, Michael Quintario, and Chris Moten.
Hello again.
Moving on now to probably slightly happier news stories.
Nobody dies in this one.
Yeah, than thinking about war and policing actions. We've got an unusual blast from the past helping out in Devon.
That we have, yes. The humble space hopper has rescued a human child, which is slightly less insane than it sounds, as the space hopper was helped quite significantly by a guy on a cliff throwing a space hopper. But anyway, it's a fairly straightforward story. Girls in water, people on cliff. People on cliff say, oh no, girls in water, that's bad. Humans don't tolerate water well. How about life buoys? Life buoys that turn out to be heavy and hard to throw and attached to ropes that aren't long enough. That's a bit rubbish. What have we got that has none of those qualities? A space hopper. Punt that one into the water. Girls hang on to space hopper. Lifeboats turn along. Go, Jesus, a space hopper. And that's pretty much the story.
I think this is another example of inflatables being used for purposes that they were not intended.
Right, yes. Deploy the Georgian children at once. They're not very good at amphibious situations. I think the first thing I have to say about this story is I think it's completely preposterous. I think there's absolutely no chance that this story has happened. This story has been fabricated.
It's true. Leave me my happiness.
It's clearly been made up by a government office that generates adorable news in order to keep the populace cheered up.
That'd be lovely.
And it's worked. Revolution you were planning? I bet you're not planning it anymore because the government office for adorable stuff has got to you.
I just weren't thinking about it and just thinking space hoppers are actually probably really good to throw because you just can just go real good overarm. I don't know why I'm miming this. You can't see me.
For the record, he's raising his arm over his head and then moving it quickly.
Just give it a really good chuck by holding on to one of the handles. So I can see why. That's what all life boys need. Mm. They need space hopper handles.
Yeah, good old chucking implement.
I think we should to just replace more life saving equipment with things inspired by. Nostalgic toys.
Perhaps on a variety of scales, depending on the scale of disaster that you're dealing with. So, I mean, obviously, at the very top end, you have an actual bouncy castle, which can be launched with the aid of a small trebuchet or catapult. And then you need to scale somehow between that and the space hopper. If you can think of any more inflatable toys, do feel free to jump in.
Not just inflatable toys. I'm thinking just toys in general. So,
that's no good. Meccano.
not for this situation.
It's very much on the seabed, sir.
not for this situation. I mean, generic.
Deploy the chess set.
I mean, generic life saving. Meccano would be good for airdropping in dire situations.
Maybe if you want to kill whoever's on the ground.
you can drop Meccano and they can use it to
build their way out of trouble. So if you've stuck down a well or something, it's a hell of a lot of Meccano.
If we're being topical here, it's stuck down a mine.
Yes, indeed. It's, you're not escaping until you learn how to construct a lattice truss.
But, if you're talking about news stories that made people happy, the Chilean miners all getting out, that was lovely.
Right, that is clearly. But it's amazing how much good that has done for the Chilean government. I hear the Bolivian government are right now, they've got some agents in a mine sort of looking pointedly at its timber struts and sort of going, ooh, I don't know, could go any minute. The National Union of Mine Workers, if they still exist, should clearly get in on this business. They should be just burying Yorkshiremen and sort of going, well, it's not like they're doing anything else. Stick them down there. Ho-hum. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. Oh no, won't somebody come and save us? Turns out the government's actually quite glad to be rid of the North. Damn. Plan didn't work.
Oh, no, I like the fact the one thing that stood out is there was one guy who'd been kind of like almost a presenter of the videos that got made, that they made of themselves down there.
Oh, right.
And he came up, and just the photos in the newspapers, it looked like he was just encouraging a crowd at a rap concert, because they had those special glasses, those special sunglasses, to make sure that their eyes weren't damaged by the light from the sun, because obviously they've not seen it for over 2 months. And but yeah, he just looked like he's just gonna go, "What's my name?" out into the audience.
Probably Mario. There was a guy, I wasn't just sort of going, I know, here's a, because that would have been a bad, if I was thinking, what's a Chilean stereotype, Mario, that would have been rubbish. The spiritual leader of the miners was named Mario.
Yes, Mario was the eldest miner, Mario Gomez.
I think he was also the one who got into trouble because he surfaced to find his wife and his mistress there, which was frankly unfair.
No, I don't think that was him.
But it might have been somebody else.
Mario was the one who has been treated for pneumonia. So
okay.
Yeah.
That might have been just a little bit of libel there. Yeah, sorry, everybody.
Don't get the names wrong. Check your facts.
Yeah. There may or may not have been mistresses who may or may not have belonged to miners. Who may or may not have been Yorkshiremen.
There was definitely one story about someone finding out when two people turned up to...
That is just unfair. So the government should definitely have sort of done something about that. Have gone, you get your 15 minutes of fame first, and then the most severe ear bending of your life. you get your medical first before you actually get kicked in the nuts.
There was a brilliant photograph as well of all the miners in the hospital with the president of Chile. And so they were all there in their sunglasses, looking almost like a football team or something, in a team, big team photo, and then all these people in sunglasses, and just in the middle with no sunglasses was the president.
The president.
I can't help but feel. I mean, couldn't he have worn some sunglasses just to show solidarity?
It feels a bit boastful, yeah, doesn't it? Like my retinas still work. Yeah. I was quite surprised to find the miners completely refrained from turning up with a hello mum sign or something like that. It's possible that the bomb that is the thing that saved them. Stopped. It was called the bomb. It was modelled after something called the. It was modelled after a mine rescue vehicle it developed in Germany, which was termed the bomb because it basically looked exactly like a bomb. It was very very narrow. It was lowered down in a similar fashion.
I thought for a moment it was called that. Like, oh man, this rescue capsule is the bomb.
Oh dear. But, no, it's not da bomb. Finger quotes. It was modelled after the something bomb, which was used in Germany, and the Phoenix 2 was sort of which rescued them was very much the sort of another iteration of that design.
Ah, okay.
But yes. Oh yes, that was what I was saying. Yes, I wouldn't be too surprised if it stopped sort of one floor down in sort of a tunnel that's not quite at the surface where the Chilean media can sort of go, yep, you got the sign that says hello mum, no, little bit of racist propaganda there, no, we want you to be sort of presentable for the world's media, so they can just sort of make them all as presentable as possible before they get up there. So they're stripping away the hello mum signs, which was good.
Oh, one guy did come out of there bearing rocks for all
all
presents. Rocks from the mine, genuine article. Only limited edition run, each one with its own certificate. No.
I was quite surprised to find the Chilean president wasn't in all the photographs of the miners with a big old sign just saying, like, send foreign aid.
Well, actually, it was quite an international effort to get them all out. That was nice as well. Like the proper Brotherhood of Man stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we're all nice for now.
So, yeah. I mean,
that probably doesn't translate into billions of dollars of aid.
It's one of those things where, like, if you look back, actually, it was a horrible news story about there being a mine collapse and all these people missing. But now it's turned into a really nice one, despite the fact that, in real terms, it's kind of like, before they were able to get out of the mine, before the accident, and now they're able to not be in the mine.
Yeah. The real story is, if only we'd built a better mine. But that's not really how we like to look at it. No. I mean, one of the miners, it turns out, came out stark raving crazy, which is not the scientific term, but it's close enough, in the sense that he was, you know, having hallucinations and so on and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a real... Yeah, that was kind of brushed under the carpet, wasn't it? Yeah, the news story when they came up wasn't like, and here comes the one who's been driven literally to the brink of insanity. It was more sort of, hey, he's back. You know, he's hugging somebody. That's good. Turns out that wasn't his family. He just likes to hug people now.
But there was one poor guy who got stuck down there. He'd just gone down. He wasn't a miner. He'd just gone down to repair some vehicle down there.
Well, that's just unlucky.
I know. I mean, he's got to. Yeah, well, he'll be one of Lost 33. I should be able to say this in Spanish, because obviously.
On Have I Got News for You, they called them Lost 33-os, which is.
Yeah, it does that, yeah.
97.2
camfm.co.uk.
Your station,
your CamFM.
That was Enter the Ninja by De Antwoord, and all those sound effects were actually in the track. That wasn't just me pressing some buttons here and making amusing sounds.
That was a preposterous record. I think what's happened there is, somewhere in the world there is a man with a little desk, and what happens is CDs come to him, and he has three buttons labelled, it's good, release it, it's terrible, burn it, and it's preposterous, launch it into orbit. And somebody has put buttons 1 and 3 far too close together. Or it's also possible, I suppose, given that he launched it into orbit, that, say, somebody on the International Space Station has gone, what in the hell is this? And it's like, oh, it's a CD, that's unusual. Who jettisoned a CD from one of the Mercury missions, brought it to Earth, and now we almost suffer. So, yeah. What's the space program for, anyway?
I enjoyed the rapping.
Enjoyed is the wrong word, but I certainly appreciated it in some way or another.
This is Burst the Bubble, and when we're not criticising the music that we're... not criticising, critiquing, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
We can like it as well. When we're not critiquing music, we talk about news.
We do.
Or things tenuously related to news.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping on the theme of possibly happiness-inducing news... We have news: a woman in America, in US of A, has become an American citizen after being there for 101 years.
Mm, that's very impressive. It turns out that she's been alive for 101 years as well, so it's not quite as preposterous as it sounds. Really?
Yeah, how old was she when she...
She's aged 101.
Oh, yeah. Is she?
Yeah, look, it says, the very first line, it says, and I quote...
Oh, yeah, fair enough, okay.
E-U-L-A-L-I-A, so Garcia.
Has she
become an American citizen at the age of 100.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I was just like, I was assuming that there was some space of time in between her getting into America and her birth.
No, apparently
very little.
She has had 101 years of existing, all of which has been spent in the United States.
Well, 101 and a bit, because...
And now she's official.
Yeah, I like, she, now she can vote, apparently, she's asking if she was going to vote in the midterm elections, and basically her response was like, "Yeah, sure, I do, for the best candidate."
Well, presumably the correct response was, "Are there any stairs?"
That was a low blow.
That would be tragic.
Stop it.
101, finally a citizen, can't get into the damn voting booth.
Stop it.
Very
but
well.
But I am confused as to if she thinks anyone else plans to vote for the worst candidate. I did hear a story once that in the most recent election, someone wanted to effectively still a teenager who was just about able to vote. Wanted to retrieve their vote after they cast it because they made a mistake, and it turned out that they voted for someone who they didn't want because they thought it was like a TV talent contest, and you were supposed to vote people off. So
that silence is my way of expressing my thoughts on the matter.
Jesus. So some people do vote for the worst candidate. yes. Oh, but yeah, she's now apparently there are 15 immigrants over 100 years of age who've been naturalised as citizens. Mm, I think you have to be careful with that term, because otherwise you start to imply that they're not wearing anything.
I like the fact that this story genuinely warms the cockles of my heart.
Unlike the other ones, you don't think that this is because of some American department making up feel-good stories.
Well, hang on, don't get too encouraged by my joyous and rightful attitude. Let me finish the sentence. it warms the cockles of my heart, wherever those are, because America is notorious for being very protectionist in terms of immigration. It's notoriously. Makes it very hard for illegals to become legal citizens of the United States. Their policy has been sort of the only good legal is a dead legal. The only good illegal. The only good the only good eagle is the bald eagle, as well we know. But the only good illegal is a dead illegal.
Are we talking about eagles here? Or?
I'm talking about illegals. Illegal immigrants. Damn it.
Okay. We start going off into talking about eagles. We'll start talking about eagles just like throwing up. It's just deeply unpleasant.
I was going to say that I'm glad to see America is changing its policy that the only good illegal is a dead illegal slightly.
I don't think that's an official policy.
No, I give up on this tortuous punchline.
Oh dear. So congratulations, Miss Garcia, on becoming a US citizen in time to vote.
Yes, good work.
And finally, Tate Modern has had to rethink a piece of one knot that you stood on because they've not made them strong enough for people to stand on, basically.
Sunflower
seeds.
As far as I can see, they filled a big old room full of porcelain beads, and then people walk around on them.
And they break.
It turns out that leads to lots of ceramic dust, and it turns out that kills you. A lot of people have been saying, oh, health and safety gone mad, as people are wont to do when asked to say something. but, I don't know, it sounds like health and safety gone reasonable.
That sounds reasonable, but I can't help but think they could have thought this through better when they made the piece of art. Perhaps they could have made them out of plastic.
Yeah, the neighbouring exhibit is just an enormous cartoon bomb. Filled with real explosives, which has a sort of a 1-year fuse, which is slowly burning away. And then it's supposed to cause the tourists to appreciate.
To rush you here. Predictions for next week's news?
Oh, next week, the bomb will go off. The Tate will be
the sunflower seeds will sprout.
There will just be a massive hole in the Thames where the Tate used to be.
Thank you very much. This has been Burst of Bubble. I've been Michael Quintero. That Chris has been Chris Moten.
I have, and I still am.